Matthew 1:18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. The night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, not. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Praise we.
Luke 1, 26 to 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Nation.
sleeping child you're holding is the grave.
Luke 2, 1 through 14. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Let this be mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Who Amen. Praise the Lord for these songs and these scriptures that lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a few moments here, I'd like to share with you just some thoughts about this one that we've tried to share with you tonight. It was read earlier, but I'd like to just highlight these verses in Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33, where the angel had said unto Mary, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Those four words strike me here where it says, the angel said to Mary, "He shall be great." Over the course of the last couple weeks here at Calvary Baptist, I have preached a little Christmas series on the Christmas characters. We've had a chance to look at the man Joseph, who was told by the angel that Mary was pregnant and was giving birth here to the Christ child. We looked at Mary and talked all about her and the things that, again, God had revealed to her and her response of faith. This past Sunday, we talked about a man by the name of Simeon, that wonderful older man that was there in the temple and had the wonderful opportunity to be able to hold the Savior of the world in his arms. The shepherds we spoke about in our afternoon service this past Sunday. And there's so many wonderful characters, but may I submit to you tonight, the greatest of all Christmas characters, yea, the greatest of all characters from beginning to end, is Jesus Christ. Amen. He shall be great. You know, there's a lot of people in history that have used the term great. Maybe you remember studying about Alexander the Great. Did you think maybe he thought a little bit too much of himself? Frederick the Great. Catherine the Great. And then you come into the era of the Roman government and the Roman consul and the general Pompey, and the Latin word magnus was also used. And so therefore, this term that literally meant to great or great work referred to a number of different people. We've called most recently, the World War II generation, the greatest generation. There was a movie that came out recently referring to a circus inventor as the greatest showman. And I could go on and on to talk about this phrase that we overuse, the term great or the term greatest. I suppose many of you, if you're a sports fanatic, you might have in mind a boxer by the name of Muhammad Ali, who used that term. While others nicknamed him and gave him a lot of different names, he was the one that came up with this name for himself, that he was the greatest. There was an interview that it was done with him with a particular magazine, and he said these words, "I'm the most talked about, most publicized, the most famous, the most colorful fighter in history, and I'm the fastest heavyweight with feet and hands who ever lived. If you look at pictures of all of the former champions, you know in a flash that I'm the best-looking champion in history. It all adds up to being the greatest, don't it?" I wish I could kind of put the words forth like he did. What do we mean by the greatest? It means of an extent, of a certain amount. It talks about something that is considerably above the norm or the average. And again, I think this word is often worn out. It's used to describe so many different things. But tonight, I have to say to you that the term only truly fits when speaking of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Christ, not Muhammad Ali, is the greatest. There is none greater than Jesus Christ. And tonight I just briefly would like to share with you why I believe that Jesus Christ is the greatest. First of all, He's the greatest because of who He is. If you study the Bible, you'll find that there are almost 200 names and titles that refer to Jesus Christ. The more that you take to study these titles and these names, the more you'll understand and appreciate the person of Jesus Christ. These titles are given to us in order that believers may know Him more intimately. It brings the divine, if you will, to a place where we can truly understand Him. Today, we won't be able to cover all of these titles, but I believe that a few of these titles will help us understand really why Jesus Christ is the greatest. Could I give you one of the verses again that was quoted earlier? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called," notice these names, "Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You ever taken time to stop to think of those names? The term wonderful, a term that is used that often will leave us maybe with some admiration and awe of whatever is in our sight. But Jesus Christ is truly wonderful. He was wonderful in His birth. He was wonderful in the works that He performed, in the words that He spoke, in His death. He was wonderful in His resurrection. He was wonderful in His ascension, and ultimately will be wonderful in His return to this earth. He's Counselor. Today, the majority of the world follows its own line of reasoning. The world is skipping to its own beat. The world is following its own wisdom. But truly, Jesus Christ is the Counselor, because true wisdom and true knowledge only come from Him who is known as the Counselor. Amen. The Mighty God. What's that a reference to? He's the one that is all-powerful. My friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, He's the one that created the world into existence. He's the one who sustains everything you see, and He has the power to keep and to save a soul from hell and to keep that person saved. That's the Mighty God tonight that we share about. He's the Everlasting Father. Jesus Christ did not come into existence when He was born of the Virgin Mary. He's always been. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "In the beginning," as our brother Austin read, "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." He's known as the Prince of Peace. That heavenly host sang at Jesus' birth, "On earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Jesus Christ is the one who gives peace, and no doubt He is the Prince of Peace. And that verse so summarizes who Jesus is, but I think of the terms that are used as we think of this Christmas season, the term Emmanuel, God with us. Some of you tonight are going through some struggles in your own personal life. Some of you may have some relatives who are going through bouts of cancer or sicknesses or ailments. Can I tell you tonight that the Jesus Christ who came to this earth is the one who is God with us? He's there to help you all along the way. Jesus is the light of the world. He's not just a little light that shines in one area. He shines through the whole world to point people to heaven and to the God who created them and wants people to be with him forever. He's the bread of life. But I love the name. It's the name that we use commonly. Jesus. It's the human name that he was given. But literally, as Mary and Joseph are given that name, they are given some insight as to why he is to be called Jesus, and that is because he is the Savior of the world. Why do I think Jesus is great? Truly because of who he is. Do you see it tonight? Do you grab a hold of it that Jesus Christ is the God, the one who came to die on the cross? Number two, could I say this? Jesus Christ is the greatest because of what he has done. I think about his time on this earth. Having been in the ministry now for 26 plus years, I have taken time every year, at least a couple of times a year, to read through the gospel writings. And I think about and imagine having maybe been there to see what Jesus had done. Ever think about those things that Jesus performed while he was here on this earth? Some of the greatest miracles that were performed by Jesus Christ. Imagine that day when Jesus was summoned by two sisters because their brother had passed away. For whatever reason, the disciples didn't understand it. They didn't know why Jesus delayed, but Jesus had a purpose. And sure enough, Jesus comes finally, and as he stands there before the cave, the opening, and he cries out to Lazarus, and lo and behold, as the people are watching, Lazarus comes forth. Isn't that amazing? A great miracle. I think of the miracles that Jesus performed of giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and causing the lame man to walk again. Remember that man that was laying by the pool there, and every so often the waters would stir, and the first person that would get in those waters would be healed of whatever infirmity. And this man had been, I believe, 38 years and had not been healed. And that day that Jesus came by, Jesus said to him, "Rise up and walk." Why do I think Jesus is the greatest? Because of those wonderful, awe-inspiring miracles. I think Jesus is the greatest because of what he's done, because of some of the most amazing truths that have ever been spoken were spoken from the lips of the Son of God. The religious leader said of Jesus, "This man speaks with authority." They had heard so many people get up into the temple and in the synagogues and to share various truths of the Word of God, but no one had spoken like Jesus spoke. Why is he the greatest? Because of the things that he's done, the miracles he's performed, the things that he has spoken. And he impacted people everywhere he went. I love the words in John chapter 4 where the Bible says about Jesus, when everybody else would pass around Samaria, the Bible said Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there at a well was a woman who was in deep trouble. A woman whose heart was away from God and she was lost in this life, and yet Jesus came to her and made the greatest impact on this woman who needed a miracle in her life. I think of that man who was demon-possessed. Everybody had basically stayed clear of this man. Don't mess with that man on the mountain. He's crazy. He's a lunatic. And yet as Jesus passed by, that man fell before the Lord Jesus Christ and was healed. And every demon cast out. And that man was in his right mind and clothed. Don't you think that man needed the greatest of all things to come and be influenced by Jesus Christ? Why do I think he's great? Because of the things that he's done. I think of what Jesus has done because of Jesus being on this earth. Do you realize tonight that everything, pretty well everything we enjoy in this world is because of an impact of the Lord Jesus Christ? I think of the fact that slavery, although in the days of slavery there were many committed Christians, sadly, who owned slaves, but yet it was many Christians who were the primary force behind getting rid of slavery, the influence of Jesus Christ. I think of children and the sad lot and case that they were in the ancient world. In fact, it is said that in the Roman world and in the Greek world, infanticide was not only legal, it was applauded. Killing a Roman was murder, but it was commonly held in Rome that killing one's own children could be an act of beauty. And yet it was through the modern movement here of pro-life, it was a Christian movement there in that time, and today the pro-life movement is largely influenced because of the influence of Jesus Christ. I could talk to you tonight about science and all the things that go on with regards to science, and many of the people years back of scientists who were believers in Jesus Christ, people like Kepler and Pascal and Isaac Newton and Louis Pasteur. With few exceptions, it has been noted that most of the scientists before 1860s were followers of Jesus Christ. You think about all the compassion and mercy of today, all the organizations that help to alleviate the suffering today, things like Samaritan's Purse, the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, World Vision, and on it goes, the hospitals and local churches that help. What's the influence? It's the impact that Jesus has made because he came. I think of the literature that is written, much of it influenced by Jesus, music that has been written, again, influenced by Jesus Christ. Men like Handel and Bach were Christians who worked to honor the Lord Jesus with their work. In fact, it was Bach who signed all of his musical works with this particular phrase, "solely to the glory of God." Much of the art has been impacted by Jesus. Classical Christian art tries to bring out the best of mankind, pointing us to a higher plane. Artists like Michelangelo use his paintings to honor Jesus. Incredible architecture throughout the world are in the beautiful cathedrals there in Europe were built to honor, and again, all of the influence, because someone, the greatest of all, Jesus, came to this earth. But may I close with this tonight, and that is that Jesus Christ is the greatest, not just simply because of the fact of what he's done on this earth and who he is, but because of why he came. You know, the things that he did on this earth, many people will just stop at that. What do you believe about Jesus? Well, I believe he was a good teacher. What do you know about Jesus Christ? I believe he was a miracle worker. And yes, he was all of that and above. But I'm here to remind you tonight that the whole reason for this season, I love that little slogan. It might get worn out here and there. Some may not applaud it. But I truly believe the reason for this time of year is Jesus Christ. You see, I'm here to remind you tonight, Jesus Christ came not just to be magnified as a baby, not just to look at the shepherds and everything around the manger scene, but Jesus Christ came in order to die. That's why he's the greatest. You know, we may say tonight that people who are born will die. Everyone in this room tonight, if Jesus Christ doesn't come back before you are passing from this life, you will die. But Jesus Christ came for the sole purpose of dying on the cross. I came across a couple of these quotes some time ago, and I love them. The hinge of history is on the door of a Bethlehem stable. The manger, someone else said, is situated on Golgotha, and the cross has already been raised in Bethlehem. Tonight, as we talk about Jesus Christ as the greatest, and I try the best I can, as a preacher, how do you describe the greatest? I don't feel that I can do an adequate job. But I do recognize this, that Jesus Christ truly is the greatest because he came in order that you and I, everyone in this room, no matter who you are, no matter what economic status you are, no matter where you've been born in this world, no matter what has gone on in this life, Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for your sins. Don't look and say, well, he died for my neighbor, or he died for that one, or just simply talk about he died for the world. Yes, he died for the world, but could you plug your name in there? For God so loved, put your name in there, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, for you. That whosoever, again, don't talk generalities, be specific. That you, personally, who believe in Jesus Christ, will not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to close our message here in just a moment. And I prayed about doing this. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this in a message. I'm going to have something played for you that was preached a number of years ago. In fact, I don't even know what year this message was done. It's just a short clip of a message preached by the man by the name of S.M. Lockridge. Pastor Lockridge was the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego from 1953 to 1993. And he preached this message titled, "That's My King." I'm going to have that played now, and then I'm going to close.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my King? The Bible says he's a King of the Jews. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my King. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my king? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not gonna resign. That's my king. Yeah. Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah.
Shall we bow our heads, please? Question that was